Hello and welcome to episode 81 of Eurobash. A fine sunny day in Dublin. Niall McGrath, is it sunny on the south side, or are you getting little rain clouds over there? How are you getting on?
We're good. We're not as miserable as you lot. So, yeah, we tend to get the better weather here. It's beautiful,
I don't
man.
Think that's true, to be honest. Yeah, it's a cracking day. It's like someone's playing a joke on us with all this good weather. But I guess it is good. At least we can go outside and stay within our 2K or whatever the hell it is. At least get a bit of sunshine, Niall McGrath.
Yeah, the sun is spitting the rocks and burning my face as well. I was out there for an hour earlier on, and I'm a wee bit red, Petey, to say the least. I have to confess. So we're not used to this sort of sun, you know. But it's all good, brother.
Yeah,
good.
I've got my freckles are multiplying. I don't know if you're the freckly kind, but Jesus Christ, I'd be out there for about half an hour, and then I'm just fucking covered in things like scabies.
I'm all right. One or two, but nothing like you, I wouldn't imagine.
Nothing on my scale. I went there. Do you know what's pissed me off? This is how much of a fucking aggro prick I am. I'm getting annoyed with people being out when I'm outside. I'm like, why is there so many fucking people outside? Like, yeah, all the time. Tried to take the dog for a walk down the canal yesterday, and I swear to God, it was like a fucking concert was going on. So it lasted about 2 seconds there, and I turned around and fucking went home. Yeah, very upsetting.
There is still a lot of people disobeying the government's guidelines on there. It's disappointing, to say the least. I got annoyed as well, to be honest. There was a lot of people out today. It was floating around, and there was people in their gardens, and then over in the coffee shop, sort of standing outside, not really social distancing. So there's definitely been a little bit of, what would you say, a regression in the progress that we thought we were making. It's unfortunate. Idiots.
Yes. However, the fights are back this week, Niall McGrath.
Oh, yeah. Buzzing. Fight week.
Well, we hope they will be.
Ah, they are. I think
it's been an unpredictable all time for the sport, but we think it is actually going to happen this weekend. UFC 249 going down in Jacksonville, Florida. We'll get on to more of that in a few minutes. Let's just break down the few headlines we do have from MMA this week. Marvin Vettori v. Karl Roberson is set for May 13th. Christoph Jocko v. Eric Anders set for May 16th. Leon Edwards, Darren Till and Jimmy Manoa have set up a coalition to combat knife crime in the UK. Till v. Whitaker has basically been verbally agreed by both parties, but at a catch weight. Dana White doubts we will see Habib v. Tony in 2020. And UFC Kazakhstan has officially been scrapped. We knew it probably wasn't going to go down, but it is official now. It is not happening on June 6th, of course. Piotr Jan and Marlon Moraes were set to top that card. Anything shocking there to you, Niall McGrath? I think it is great that after his appearance on the episode last week, Leon doubled down really on what he said to us about the knife situation in Birmingham, and has begun this cross-county kind of coalition with Till in Liverpool and Jimmy Manoa in London. Very good to see that.
Yeah, fair play to them. The lads using their, you know, their platform and this time to obviously try and get that at the forefront, as well as COVID-19. As Leon said last week, there was a number of stabbings and even in one day in Birmingham, and it's sort of going on across the UK in the major cities, Liverpool, Birmingham, London, where the lads are from. And Darren, it's obviously, you know, very close to home for him being stabbed when he was 16, 17 in that nightclub. So a great thing, I think, from the lads to do. And sort of puts other news back into the headlines. And you know, I think that's what's been sort of needed. Like, you know, it's all been COVID-19. And these problems still go on, even in a time where we're all supposed to be isolating, which is, it's great to see. Fair play to the lads. Well done.
To be honest, you kind of were on this Habib v. Tony thing since we initially found out it wasn't going to happen at 249, the fifth time of asking. You kind of said you were kind of doing the maths as to when people would be available, as to when Habib would be finished Ramadan ready to fight. You kind of knew that Habib v. Tony wasn't going to happen in 2020. You were fairly confident of that as soon as 249 fell apart, right?
Yeah. Listen, it's not made. I don't know. We're going to be seeing it anytime soon. And
Forever at this stage.
Yeah, I reckon, you know, I think the UFC are going to go ahead and, you know, book Conor McGregor possibly against the winner of Saturday night's fight. And, you know, Habib, obviously, at Ramadan, being where he is at the moment in Dagestan, you know, flights, visas, it's just not happening anytime soon. And I think, you know, we look at the UFC with the treatment with Fight Island, obviously having it for international fighters based outside the US. We've had no sort of words again yet and what's going on there, any sort of definite confirmation from Dana. He keeps telling us it's there, but we're yet to have any sort of
Fight Island is real
evidence. So if you're looking at any sort of international shows, man, they're not happening, and that sort of effectively reels out Habib from where he is at the moment in competing. And obviously with Ramadan and all that happening, as he said previously, he won't fight during this period. So it does set up something for the winner Saturday night, potentially against Mr. McGregor, I think, in July somewhere.
It's like, you know, it's obviously very good for the fighters. The fighters are excited to be competing. A lot of the fans very excited for the fights. How are your excitement levels?
I am, man. Today I woke up and I was going, shit, we've fights on Saturday. It looks like it, as we're going to talk about in a few minutes, obviously the things that are going on in the US and the state of Florida and the, you know, ringside physicians have sort of, you know, eased their stance on the fights going ahead. So that points to everything that we're actually going to get some fights this weekend. And listen, I'm not going to lie. I am excited. Like, why wouldn't we be? We cover this sport. We haven't had it for 2.5-3 months. It's a long time for us having fight cards literally twice, three times a fucking week. And we're back to that on Saturday night. So I'm not going to lie. You know, I know there's obviously huge risks going ahead with this card still. But, you know, the government have given it the all clear there in Florida. Mr. DeSantis, Governor DeSantis has said it's okay to go ahead.
Saint DeSantis.
So, listen, I'm going to get behind it. I'm going to be, you know, on the media stuff this week as well. The UFC are doing it online for the first time ever. So why not? Why not? I'm excited. How are you? Are you excited? You must be. You have to be. No?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. Like, I'm excited, but it does kind of have the feel of a disaster movie like Armageddon. But I mean, it's good. Like, I mean, we did get some good signs. We had an article on MMA Fighting this week, basically from the ringside physicians who came out against the idea of events happening. You know, when Dana was trying to put them on in April, but it seems they've kind of softened their approach here. Their statement is as follows. The Association of Ringside Physicians recognize that the circumstances regarding COVID-19 pandemic are continually changing and evolving. As stay-at-home orders are relaxed, athletic commissions and combat sports governing bodies are looking to restart operations. Although it is impossible to eliminate all risk associated with COVID-19, precautions can be made to reduce the risk of viral transmissions. Many athletic commissions, organizations and promoters are developing new guidelines to limit exposure to all involved at events, including athletes, their teams, commission personnel, and support staff. So I guess it does seem like it is safer now to do it when they initially were going to do it. But, you know, they're still under fire. In this morning, Monday morning's morning report from Jed Meshew, we're seeing Bob Arum still pretty pissed off with the idea of this going ahead. He was saying, I think the behavior of people in sports we should be following are Adam Silver of the NBA, Roger Goodell of the NFL, people who are proceeding cautiously and safely, not people who are acting like cowboys. For example, the UFC wanted to do this fight in California, and they were prevented by Governor Newsom and by Senator Feinstein going to ESPN and having Dana pull the plug. It turned out that one of the fighters, in fact, tested positive afterwards for coronavirus. You know, if we get something like that on one of Dana's shows, and God forbid there's a serious incident of spreading the disease, it doesn't do well for anybody who's involved with sports. Interesting enough, also featured there, Oscar De La Hoya seems to be commending Dana, even though they've had that long publicized beef. So I wonder how that that resolved itself. But very interesting stuff there. I mean, do you think, are you more comfortable with it happening now than say April last month, a few weeks ago when they were trying to do this initially?
I don't know. No, probably not. I just think it's more credible now because the governor has given it the go ahead. But I don't think the circumstances have changed an awful lot. In terms of what the UFC are doing, you know, obviously that report that you said came out and we've seen what the ringside physicians have said, it seems as though the UFC are going to do testing this week. So, you know, I think that's going to put people's minds at a little bit of rest going into this. But no, I'm very, very sort of 50-50 on this still. I'm obviously excited, but should it really be going ahead? I don't know. You know, I don't know. I really still can't make my mind up on this. I've been beating myself up this for the last 2.5 months, even when the original card was cancelled a month ago. But, you know, if these things are in place, you know, why not? You know, will more people not stay at home and watch the pay-per-view? And, you know, I don't know. I find it hard.
We'll talk about the information we have on testing, etc., when we come back after our first interview. But yeah, like, basically all the noises you're making just remind me that MMA journalists are the wimpiest and weakest people covering the hardest and strongest sport. No, that's how I think of you.
A lot of them are. Listen, right? I'm more edging towards, yeah, listen, let's go ahead. If all these things are in place, you know, it might put a smile on people's faces. You know, I'm going to be happy watching the fights on Saturday night. It'll take them away from the troubles of what are going on. And
you tweet out a picture of a big happy face on you while you're watching them.
Yeah,
big smile,
of course,
mate.
Of course I will. Yeah, it definitely will. But like, that's that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, it's one of those ones where, you know, you can either look at both sides, and it is. It's hard to really sort of go on either side. It probably shouldn't be happening, but then, you know, let's not be too hypocritical when we're going to be enjoying the fights on Saturday night. So let's get to a PT. First interview of the day is with Mr. Paul Felder, who commentates this weekend at UFC 249. Sorry, doesn't commentate. He's on color analyst duty from at home in Philly. He'll explain all that, what's next for him, and lots more. He got a new dog as well, which is pretty cool. So check out the interview with Paul. We'll be back to talk about this weekend's UFC 249 card. Always a pleasure to welcome on. He's on color analyst duties from at home, I believe, this weekend for UFC 249. It is, as always, a pleasure to have on the Irish Dragon, Paul Felder. Paul, first of all, I think the question everyone wants to know is, what have you been eating over this period of time?
Well, there was quite a time there where it was getting really bad. I've still had moments of debauchery, as I like to call it. But all in all, I've been trying to clean up the diet, get in much better shape. I'm running a lot. I'm doing the spin bike. I've got a very, very, very small group of guys that I've been starting to slowly get some pad sessions in and some work. But we're trying to limit the donuts over here now.
Obviously, it's tough times for everyone, Paul. But how's everyone been? How's the family? Is everyone well? Is everyone safe?
Yeah. So far, you know, fingers crossed, knock on wood. But so far, you know, I'm here with Christine and Ashling. We've got the dog. My mom as well. My brothers are both well. My brother John is still working full time.
Wow.
Because he works for the SEPTA, the public transportation, and he works on the rails and like down in the subways. So he's been working. My brother's been working from home, and my mom's been working from home. So everybody's been, you know, bored. Everybody's bored, but everybody's safe.
There's a new arrival in the household as well. I just saw off air there a moment ago, Big Rodney. Tell the guys about Rodney.
The last few weeks, I really started to want a dog. And I'm traveling a lot, and I didn't know how I was going to handle it, but I was like, I've got such a good support around me with people that'll have him, and my mom and my brothers, Christine, and everybody. So I was like, I'm not too worried about it. So we went and we just looked at some rescue places around. We looked at some, we were, you know, looking at bulldogs and things like that. And it just didn't work out that way. We went to this rescue spot, and this poor guy was sitting there, some scars on his face, needed a home. And he's massive. I didn't plan on getting a giant 86 pound pit bull, but he's just such a sweetheart. He doesn't realize how big he is. And he just hit me with the sad eyes, Niall, right when we were about to walk out. At first, I wasn't going to get him because he was too big and he wasn't being super friendly. He was kind of being skittish and standoffish. And I was like, well, I'm not going to get this guy if he's not, you know, coming up to me and giving me kisses. And then I started thinking, this dude's locked in a cage, doesn't know what's happening. So
similar to you on Fight Night, eh? Locked in the cage.
Yeah, exactly. So I felt for the man, so I scooped him up.
Paul, I got to ask, obviously you've come out and you've said a lot of things since we last spoke as well. You know, you're getting that itch again. How is the health? How are the injuries? How's everything?
Injuries are good, man. As far as anything that came from the fight, that's all cleared up. My eye, my orbital bones are all healed up. My calf, obviously, a few weeks later was healed up. But just some soreness from getting back into training harder. That's about it. But as far as my desire, man, I did about 8 to 10 rounds of hardcore MMA stuff today with one guy. I won't say who, I won't say where, I won't say any of that kind of stuff. It's like little secret meetings because people are, you know, I don't want to get anybody outed. But I'm working. I'm working. I think by end of summer, I'd be really good to go.
So you're totally excited to get back in there and throw down again. You've dispelled the retirement talk, and obviously you were thinking about that at the time. The emotions were high. Is it very much focused back getting in the octagon now, or is it going to take that special moment or fight?
It's still going to take a good fight. I'm not saying it's got to be the number two guy or the number three guy, but it's got to be somebody in the top 10 around there that's exciting. You know, something that I feel like can catapult both of our careers, whoever that person is too. You know what I mean? If they can jump over me and get ahead, then great. But that's what makes good fights, is it's got to be two guys that are still competitive to get back towards the top of the division. And there's quite a few guys out there, you know, and with the whole quarantine and travel bans, if the UFC can get going next week, this weekend, then we get the ball rolling. Dana White's get these fight going. We get Fight Island going, which he says is a real thing. Then there's a real possibility that I truly could skip the line. You know what I mean? This is that crazy shit that I was telling you about.
Yeah.
Where you never know. Look at Dominic Cruz, who's fighting Henry Cejudo now. You know, these are opportunities that really took place because some guys weren't training, because guys can't get into the country. It limits the amount of people, but good for him for being ready and taking the opportunity. And I kind of expect something similar to happen for me where, you know, July, August comes around and they need, you know, big fights on a pay-per-view or potentially a main event for one of these smaller shows at the Apex. I would love to headline a show out at the Apex with no crowd, as long as it's a great fight. And I might be able to skip up into that top five over a lot of guys because, and I'm saying it's kind of cheating, but shit, I don't care. My bank account's not going to know what's cheating and what's not cheating. So if I get a big fight because of this stuff, then that excites me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's very much that case. Cause you know, if we look here, I don't think there's going to be any European cards soon. It looks like Dublin's going to be canceled, which is obviously a big shame for us here. Yeah, oh, don't even speak to me. I think we did a couple of texts when, you know, the government here announced it.
When you sent me that stuff, I was like, oh, man. Even if I wasn't fighting on it, you know I was going to be working it. And I was pumped.
Yeah. Well, listen, fingers crossed. Something might change between now and then, but it's obviously unlikely. But as you said, like a lot of the guys in the lightweight division, at the top of the division, you have Conor, you have Habib. They're both European. They're both going to be stuck here for the foreseeable future. It's going to be hard to get visas, all that sort of thing. You said this leapfrogs you. So you feel by the next month or two, you want to get in there back again and make that push. Obviously leapfrogging it, guys. You could even potentially be looking at a fight between one of these two guys at the top of the division next Saturday. Who knows?
Who knows? That's what's crazy. And I'm not saying that it's necessarily how it should go, right? Sorry, I can't figure out what you're doing. You know, and it shouldn't be right. Like, you know, Hooker should be fighting Poirier and so-and-so should be fighting so-and-so, but that might just not happen. And I'm not going to say no to a fight just because so-and-so can't get out of a country. I'm going to take that, you know, any of these fights. And there's going to be a loser this Saturday between Justin and Tony. And one of them is going to need a fight to jump right back into that spotlight to get a fight. And, you know, that's a fight that we talked about forever ago, right? That it could work out that, you know, I end up getting one of these fights between Tony or Justin or Dustin. It's like, those are the names I want to be getting into the mix with, you know, for sure.
I'm not fat shaming you, Paul, but how is the weight at the moment? Because you're a guy, we've often talked about it, you know. You know, it's a process for you to get down.
The beard is making me look fat. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. It's all beard. There's just skin and bone under there.
That's what I say, mate. Relaxed muscle, we call it.
Yeah, I'm heavy as fuck. I'm not going to lie to you. If they called me and said, oh, shit, May 16th, we need you to fight at 170, I'd say, well, that is not even going to happen at 170. We could fight at middleweight, and I can make that happen. But as far as the summertime, I'm running again. It's getting nice here on the East Coast. I ran yesterday. I ran 8 miles, and it was beautiful out. I've been doing a lot of the biking, and I'm starting to get back into my MMA training. And, you know, I think we're just all going to be limited.
Yeah, of course.
As far as fight camps, I think we've got to just really try to figure out what can we do. And I'm not really hardcore dieting yet. If I was hardcore dieting, my weight with the workload that I'm doing would be significantly low. I just got to get in a calorie deficit, which I'm not really fully doing yet.
I got to ask you that as well. You know, obviously with the, you know, Duke not being around, you not being able to travel down there. I know you've guys in Philly and stuff. Have you been doing a lot of working out in your backyard? Have you been, you know, as you said, you were out with a couple of guys you don't want to name. That's fair enough. But, you know, the day-to-day sort of thing, maybe a couple of weeks ago, you know, what have you been doing? Just hitting pads out in the back garden? What's been that process?
So a lot of pads. And I did do a few backyard sessions, literally, where my guy that holds pads, Ryan, would come over and we did it. And my mom has a big backyard, so we didn't even go in her house. We just went, and I knew there was a big open patch of grass that we could hit the pads. And it was nice out. And like I said, when the weather is nice, I've been going for long runs. I took a few weeks off from the long runs because I was destroying my feet running too much. But yeah, long runs, pad sessions, and intense pad sessions. When I get on the pads with my boy, I've been going at it. And yeah, some limited MMA training with very, 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 very small groups. And by small, I mean, you know, one guy. But when we get it in, we get it in, and we do, you know, 10 to 12 rounds, hour and a half, 2 hour sessions, because I might not get another MMA workout for a couple of days. I've been still getting my lifts in and plenty of cardio, but it's not ideal. It's not what I would want for a full training camp. If I was going to book a fight, I'm still going to Duke's, and it's very limited there too. You know, he can't really, I mean, he's not open just like everybody else isn't technically open, but once I'm out there, I can at least find the guys. I'm probably going to be getting some kind of testing done this coming next weekend.
Okay.
So I'll know where I stand on this whole situation, whether it's an antibody test or a COVID test. I'll know. And unfortunately, if I freaking show up and have it, I'm not working. That'd be a waste of a trip. But I'm supposed to be going to Florida and working. So hopefully I get there, I'm negative, and I know, okay, I just got to stay negative for the rest of my life. You know,
yeah.
Easy to do.
Yeah, definitely. Listen, I got to ask you about that as well. You know, obviously with the fight card happening this weekend, you've mentioned it there, you know, guys not working with their coaches. Cowboy did an interview with ESPN. He said, you know, he thinks a lot of the fights are going to end early. What effect do you feel as a fighter not working with your coach on a day-to-day basis? These guys are going to have on Saturday night problems in terms of even longevity, going the distance, implementing that game plan. Is it going to hinder the fights massively?
Yeah, I think it will. I think it will. We will see things be a lot different. And I agree with Cowboy there, where you might see people get slugged out a little bit more because certain people might show up just to make a paycheck. You know what I mean? They might want to just fight. But I don't see that as there's no reason people should just be gassing out, because if anything, all these people have been able to do is cardio, right? There's no reason if you're in decent weather, you shouldn't just be running your face off. And you can make sure you're in shape, but I think people, you know, are just going to kind of slug it out a little more because, you know, it's like, screw it. I haven't had the craziest camp. I might as well go out there and put on a show. And I hope that's what everybody does, right? Because everybody watching this is an opportunity. Nobody has had live sports for months.
Yeah.
So
no.
These people can go out and make a statement, man. People can, the face and the rankings and the stars of the UFC can really change throughout this quarantine in the next month or so.
Obviously, being close to Cowboy and close to Showtime Pettis, your teammate, split loyalties this weekend for you. Have you spoken to Duke about what he's been able to do with Showtime? Obviously, you're in the loop there. Has there been much work with the guys, or, you know, what's gone down?
I know Anthony's getting work in, but I don't know exactly with who, but I know that him and Duke, at least, I think, have been able to get in some work. But again, I don't really know. I know that Duke's healthy and well, and I've been talking to him at least every week or so, checking in with those guys. But I just asked him, I was like, you know, towards the summer, if I have to book a camp, can I still come and live at the fighter house? And he said, yeah. So that's all I know. I know that the house is still there for me. And he basically said, we'll figure out something. And, you know, kind of like what you see a lot of these fighters doing, making sure everybody's safe, maybe get a test. I'll even pay for the antibody test for people that I know that I'll be training with come fight time, so that we can stay in a small group, even if it's out in Milwaukee, where even if I have to bring a few guys to live at that fighter house with me and just keep it small, but just get the work in where you can.
How do you feel, Paul, about the whole situation? Obviously, you know, this card was, you know, fell off a number of weeks ago. How do you feel as a fighter and as, you know, a commentator, a guy that's going to have to go to these events? Obviously, the government have more or less cleared it now in Florida. We saw today that Mark Raimondi put out a report in ESPN that the UFC are going to have COVID testing for the fighters. You mentioned that as well. So that seems to be a line. Are you comfortable now, you know, going to these events, traveling to these events?
I'm nervous, of course, just like anybody's got to travel through this. It's going to be a little nervous. I haven't been to an airport since Vegas, since the last pay-per-view that I worked. And that was kind of right as it started to become a thing. You know, you start really hearing about it swarming through the U.S., but it still wasn't like, we're not going to have to shut down. Like, that's ridiculous. And now it's been, 6 weeks, 7 weeks that we've been shut down here, I think. And nervous, but also I know I'm nervous for the test because it's miserable, but I'm also really excited to know that I don't have this goddamn thing, you know, or know that I do have it and I'm asymptomatic and they got to shut my ass down for 14 days, which really sucks because if I go out there and I test positive, they're going to lock me up in my hotel room for 14 days.
Yeah, man. I heard
as you can't send me back to the airport, right? I mean, I've got to quarantine myself there. That means it's 14 days I'm going to not be home with my family either. So
that's a regular occurrence when you go to events anyway, Paul. So you might as well get used to it. You never get straight back home.
Oh, man. No. Yeah, now I might have to quarantine when I get back. Just live in my room. Jesus Christ. Have people drop, you know, Christine and everybody and Ashley drop food outside of my room.
I got to ask you before we wrap up. I do appreciate the time, man. I noticed you were on, I think, UFC Unfiltered with Matt Serra. And I actually texted you the other day. And I'm not sure. I think it's Tom Norton that is the co-host. But basically, you know, there's obviously been that talk of you and Al. You've mentioned it before. There's always been beef. You're supposed to fight before. What was that dynamic like being on with Matt Serra? Obviously, him being, you know, Al's coach.
Norton, I know he's just messing with Matt because he knows he's his coach. I think he's just trying to get him uncomfortable. But I've talked to Sarah about it so many times, man. He really genuinely does seem to like me as a person, and it's mutual. I think he's a great guy and a great coach. And I've seen Al at other fights, and me and him haven't said a bad word to each other. You know what I mean? I think there's a lot of respect there. I think we're very much cut from the same cloth, and that we're tough guys. We're not always, you know, we don't always come out on top, but when we're in there, you've been in there with the two of us. And on any given day, we can be the best guy in that division. It's just, but yeah, if that's who I got to slug it out with, I've told you, he's a guy I would definitely fight. I like that fight. Tony, Dustin, Justin, Hooker, Khabib, and Connor. That's about it.
Fair enough. I think we watch any of them. Couple more before I let you go, Paul. Obviously, you're working from at home this weekend. I can see the ESPN, you know, symbols and logos in the background. How different is that now, working from at home? I know there's a camera set up ready for you to go. It's going to be a totally different dynamic. Does that intimidate you? How do you feel about working from at home? Because obviously, you know, I know internet can obviously be an absolute nightmare at times.
Yeah, of course. We're going to find out. I've done enough Zoom interviews and things like that from inside of this house already, like without all the actual setup, and things have gone okay. So I'm hoping my internet holds up, and I've got my lighting rigs over here. I've got my tripods, and they sent me an iPad with a Zoom lens, and we just set it all up. And then tomorrow they're sending me a dome for the light to spread out more evenly. Yeah. I got my suits up here on the bed, ready to go get dry cleaned, and I'm interested. You know, it's, you know, the only thing tough for me is, at least when I'm working the show at the show, you're at work, you show up, you put your suit on, you get a little powder, you're ready to go. This is gonna be in my own living room. There's beer down in my fridge. There's tequila down in between shows. Donuts. I get to go and watch the main card. I'm gonna want to go have a cocktail, and I can't do that. You know, I've got to stay clean and sober. So. That's the only thing that's like, man, I'm definitely going to have some pizza downstairs ready to go in between fights so I can have some pizza, watch the fights, and then just stay in my suit and jump on camera when I need to.
It's a phenomenal fight card. I know you're not allowed to give fight picks, but you know what fight stands out for you? Is it just...
I am doing fight picks for this
one. Oh, you are? Okay, you're allowed to do fight picks for this one. Okay, right.
I am doing.
We'll have a quick shot of the co-main and main. Dominic coming back. He's the king of, you know, he's dispelled any sort of talk or myth that is ring rust, obviously, with that performance against TJ Dillashaw when he came back after 2-3 years out to win the title. Has he enough to come back again and take the title from Henry Cejudo?
I'm calling it now. I'm calling the upset, and I think Dominic Cruz is going to walk out of the champ.
I agree with you. Is that just because he's a colleague of yours on the desk?
It's not. It's really not, because me and John Anik have talked a lot about it, and in private too. I just think he's just awkward enough. I think he's big. He's strong. He seems to be in really good shape. I'm watching this guy train. He's doing this swim stuff. Dom's one of those guys, man. He really
never stops.
He's another guy similar to Tony Ferguson, where I feel like they would thrive in this situation purely because of their mental side of things. He's not going to let this quarantine and having one training partner. But he's going to do pool. He's going to do sprints. He's going to make sure his cardio is on point. And it seems to have enough training partners and coaches working with him where I don't think he's missed all that much of a beat. And I know he's been healthy enough for a long enough time where he's been really focusing on getting in shape since we worked together forever ago. I can remember talking to him about it.
Man, I can't wait for that fight. I'm absolutely just so excited about seeing Dominic Cruz back in there. One of the all-time greats, in my opinion, in the bantamweight division.
100%.
I've got to ask you, you know, and I think this is, you know, I don't like saying this. I never like saying, you know, I favor a fighter, I want a fighter to win, but I think it would be a crying shame if Tony Ferguson lost his fight, because it sort of dispels any sort of wishes or future potential meeting with Habib down the line. The fight I think the MMA world has wanted to see. But I feel this is one of those sort of scenarios, the story with him cutting weight a couple of weeks ago, with that, I just think Justin Gaethje might do something here. Maybe, you know, might be able to get in the pocket and land something against Tony. What's your feeling with this fight? It's a big, big risk, and there's not a lot of reward here for Tony Ferguson.
Yeah, I think it is a big risk, but I think there's plenty of reward for you going in there with the circumstances that Tony is under and performing and beating a guy the caliber of Gaethje. If you go in there and you beat him, then the only problem with that is, okay, then the next fight is obviously got to be Khabib again. And we've just had this COVID-19 stuff happen because of that fight. What's going to be next if they get scheduled to fight again? The world's going to explode. So for the sake of the human race, I hope that, you know, maybe that fight shouldn't happen. But I think I like both those guys, man. But I just like Justin's power and the way he gets inside and throws those hooks. I like the way he chops the legs. I like his toughness. I like his wrestling defense. And he's got wrestling offense. He just doesn't give a shit to show it.
That's very true.
I really feel like if he wanted to take any opponent he's had yet so far to the ground and pound them, he could have. He's just like, nah. So I see an upset. I don't know who's the favorite in that. Was Tony the favorite?
Tony's slight favorite, yeah.
Slight favorite, yeah. I am.
Paul, one more.
I'm on the fence with this one, but I'm picking Gaethje.
Okay, one more for you on that. The weight cut that Tony proceeded to go ahead and do, regardless that he had no opponent 3 weeks ago, how much will that play into effect come Saturday night? Will that hinder Tony coming into this fight week?
I don't think so, because I don't know how much Tony... I know he posted that he was still, the night before, I think he was still... 8 pounds, 10 pounds over.
Yeah, 7, 8, I think it was.
That's standard, man. That, you know, I wake up and do that on the weigh-in day. If it's a late weigh-in, if it's an early weigh-in, I'm doing most of that the night before. But that's, he could have bounced back from that pretty that day. You know, he's a pretty skinny guy. I don't think there's some people out there that if they told me they were cutting the weight anyway, I'd be like, you're an idiot, because you're gonna really, really damage yourself. You know. I've mentioned it in one of my other interviews. Maybe me and John did the Instagram live that, you know, for me, I wouldn't be able to do that. And I had people coming at me, calling me mentally weak and all that. I'm like, you idiots, it has nothing to do with being mentally weak. It has to do with 25 pounds or so that it would be for me versus, you know, maybe 7 to 8 for somebody else. It's like, I'm not doing that. It's not, you know, not because I'm not mentally tough. It's just, I'm not going to wreck my body to do it all over again in 3 weeks. That's just.
It's Tony Ferguson, man. We'll let him away with it.
And that's him, right? And that works for him. And I see what he's doing, and he's trying to get in his opponent's head. And I respect it. But I'm just saying it can't be done by everybody. Yeah. So you got to consider how much weight is being cut.
Thoroughly agree. We know what the MMA fans are like sometimes.
But hey, he's a G, man. Like, I can't say it enough. I have nothing against Tony Ferguson. I think he's a savage.
He's an absolute savage. And listen, I can't wait for that fight. Paul, I'm looking forward to seeing you get back in there as well. And listen, say hello to all your family and everyone stay safe there in Philadelphia, Paul. I do appreciate the time, my man. And listen, hopefully we'll have that pint in September. I know it's unlikely.
How are you doing without proper pints right now? Is this driving you crazy, Paul, or what?
I'll tell you what, and a lot of people don't believe me, I've never drank as little in my life because I am a pub pint man. I'm not a can pint man.
You want a real...
real Guinness.
Proper Ford pint.
Yeah. The most amount of drink alcohol I've had in one evening and one sitting is four small cans. You know, we have the big cans here. I'm talking like the Coca-Cola size cans. Four of them.
Yeah.
And I haven't drank in 2 weeks. And that's me. I'm a changed man. I'm not eating, I haven't eaten red meat in 2 months either.
All right. Look at you.
Changed man, Paul. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But I tell you what, I'd murder, absolutely murder a cold, extra cold pint of Guinness straight from the tap.
Oh, I would right now too. I'm actually kind of thirsty, and that sounds...
Listen, man, it's going to be a while before we get it back. It's going to be... They're talking about September, October before the pubs open. They'll be the last open, so I'm struggling, but listen, as long as we're all safe, I don't give a shit. That's the main thing, you know?
Yeah, right. Of course. Yeah, of course. And, you know, man, whether it's a 6 months, 3 months, a year from now... Everybody is going to appreciate things just
definitely
that, so much more, right? Imagine when you're finally cleared and you're with your boys and you get that pint. It's going to be something special.
I've been saying that for a while, and you know, we've been saying it on the show quite a lot, that once this ends, you're going to appreciate things a lot more and you're going to have the best piss up of your life.
Yeah.
Paul, any message before the fans, as you said there, in terms of COVID-19, anything they should do before we let you go?
Yeah, just, you know, everybody, God, please do your best. Stay safe. Stay in here and, you know, stay clean, stay hand washed. And for the fighters out there, man, just keep working that freaking cardio and fighters fight. If the UFC calls you and you want this opportunity, stay safe, take it. And to all the fans, man, we are underway. I'm getting all the emails. I am set up. This shit is happening. The UFC and Dana White, we are going to be the first sports back on TV, and people are going to have something to watch, and I'm willing to fly to Florida to do it. So tune in, buy that pay-per-view. Let's go. Let's get this world back in order.
I agree. Paul, always a pleasure to speak to you. I do appreciate the time, my friend.
Thanks, brother.
Big thanks to Paul for stopping by. He was busy there earlier on. I was catching up with him. ESPN were setting up in his living room, but fair play to Paul for coming on.
But, right, let's have a look at the information. There's a great article on ESPN Monday morning from the great Mark Raimondi. A lot of information in here about the testing. Well, more information than I've seen anywhere else. Just quoting the article now, it is called, let me tell you, Inside the Challenges of Holding a Major Sporting Event During the Coronavirus Pandemic, and it's a very thorough piece Raimondi's put out here. Let me just find the parts that we're looking for. There will be several restrictions and a whole new set of protocols in Jacksonville. In an email sent to teams last week, the UFC cautioned that things will be different from our typical fight week. Shocker. Most fighters will arrive by plane Tuesday or Wednesday, except for those who live close enough to drive. Normally, fighters arrive Tuesday and have media obligations from then until Thursday evening. That won't be the case this week. When fighters and their coroner people get to the hotel, they will go through mandatory medical screening and tests, according to the UFC's email. Most teams expect the fighters and coroners to be tested for COVID-19, as indicated in the email the UFC Performance Institute sent to the athletes. Sources confirmed to ESPN that the UFC will administer both the diagnostic swab coronavirus test as well as the antibody test. Once the fighters and corner people go through the medical checkpoint, they will meet with UFC staff members who will inform them of procedures for the rest of the week. The fighters and corners will be given credentials to be worn at all times in the hotel. Sources said they will be asked to not mingle in large groups and try to self-isolate within reason until their COVID-19 test results come back. Per the email, every day a fighter and team member is on hotel property, he or she will be required to return for additional medical screening. That will include temperature checks and questions about potential coronavirus symptoms, sources said. The host hotel is no longer taking reservations for the week. Teams have been told they will be given individual workout rooms in which to train and cut weight during the week. Per the email, the rooms will be equipped with mats, mat sanitizer, and a personal sauna to assist in weight cutting. The hotel's room service will be open 24 hours and there is a market on site, the email said. Troy Fekta, the UFC's meal sponsor, will provide food for the athletes who want it. Meals will be dropped in front of fighters' hotel room doors at scheduled times. The UFC Performance Institute will have staff on site to help with nutrition, weight cuts, and physical therapy. The physical therapy will be available for performance-related matters and only for fighters on the card, per the UFC email. Thorne, the UFC's third-party supplement company, will have products on hand as well. At the hotel, according to the UFC email, housekeepers will be equipped with hospital-grade sanitizer and personal protective equipment. Official weigh-ins take place Friday morning, as usual, but UFC has told fighters might have scheduled times to hit the scale to limit the number of people in the room at the same time. Having scheduled times for weigh-ins was the plan for the cancelled Tachi show too. So, yes, that is a lot more information than we got from Dana White in that Kevin Ioli interview. It's fair to say, Noel.
Yeah, I think he's clearly obviously just been working on the finer details right up until this week, it seems. You know, I think obviously...
What a saint.
You know, it probably would have made more sense if they came in and got the testing maybe, you know, this, you know, earlier on this week instead of waiting until fight week, because realistically, in this situation, we could have some guys testing positive, you know, if they're coming in, and we don't know what they've been doing or who they've been in contact with. So that's going to be the interesting thing for me. And it is good, obviously, that they have testing in place once the athletes arrive. But I'm just surprised it wasn't done a little bit sooner on the UFC's part. But obviously a very costly process, renting out a hotel and the testing. But athlete safety first, Petey.
And it seems like the UFC will be the first sport back. We feared that Dana White wouldn't get his that extra feather in his cap because the German Bundesliga was due to return on May 9th, the soccer league there. But that's been nixed by the government now. It turns out that in their screening, 10 people between the Bundesliga and the second division in the German league were found to have... tested positive, 10 people. So, I guess the fact that these tests have come back like this probably didn't want to rush into anything. Is that why you're kind of saying, you know, maybe we should have done the tests earlier in case everyone's popping up on the island and they find out then and it's already too late if they're all together, right?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the major problem. You know, you could have someone literally pass it on within a day and it mightn't show up. Just things like that. It's good that they have it obviously in place, but you know, you're looking, I think, two players from FC Cologne at the weekend were tested positive for coronavirus, which Cologne are obviously a Bundesliga club, and if that's going ahead this weekend... you know, they're obviously going to have problems. But I know the German clubs have been testing quite rigorously. But still, at the end of the day, it's coming down to the government there. The German Prime Minister, Angela Merkel, is meeting with the Bundesliga on, I think, it's the 6th of this month. So that's, what, 2 days' time. So that's going to be interesting to see what they do. The clubs want to get back. The fans don't want to. It's going to be behind, more or less behind closed doors. And I think 322 people are going to be allowed in attendance. But, yeah, you know, I think the reason why I'm okay with the UFC in Florida to a certain extent is because of the government actually going ahead and they see these protocols are in place. So there's a little bit of a difference there, I think. But I think it's only a matter of time before other sporting organizations like the Bundesliga are back because, you know, all the clubs are calling for it to come back. I think the Premier League's a different set of circumstances. But I think they're just all sort of waiting on government clearance, really.
Yeah, you mentioned it there. It's something I wanted to bring up. The fans being up in arms about this. I heard this, Ken Early speaking about this on Second Captains last week. Very, very different situations, I feel, with the soccer, even covering soccer and the fandom of soccer. The amount of information the lads had that was available to the media about the Bundesliga coming back. Like, I mean... rigorous like detail in terms of how the training sessions will go, how the athletes will shower after training. Unbelievable amount of detail. And of course then the fans being up in arms not wanting the sport to return, even though of course they probably miss it a lot. Very different than the situation with MMA, right? I mean, it just kind of shows me the glaring difference between mainstream sport and MMA.
I think the difference with the Bundesliga and soccer in Germany is, you know, the fans, I think, bar two of the Bundesliga clubs own the football clubs. I think it's if I'm not mistaken. Amazing. I think it's Bayer Leverkusen and Wolfsburg are the only two clubs that are owned by corporations, and they're not very well liked in the German league. So I think the fans have more of a connection with the players and the club, and they're often invited in to see how things are done with the ticketing and the prices, all this kind of thing. It's very different to the Premier League and other sort of organisations around the world. So that's possibly why I think they've more of, you know, they don't want to see their players damaged. They don't want to see negative things happen to their club. And it's a very, very sort of different environment in terms of fans, to any sort of other fans around the world. It's a little bit like Spain, but probably a more hardcore element, but it's a family sort of event. You see a lot of families going to games in Germany. But yeah, it's very different. Obviously, the UFC is a multi-billion dollar corporation, and Dana doesn't want to give anything away. And yeah, like, he should have been more transparent to respect of the fighters, for the fighters' safety, to let them make decisions. We saw Amanda Nunes pull out. And to be honest, Jopiti, I wouldn't be surprised if a few guys, you know, get to the hotel this week and go, shit, man, I don't know. Do I like what's going on here? I'm not too comfortable with it, and end up pulling out. I wouldn't be surprised.
That would be crazy, right? I guess... I it's just funny to me, like, when I hear that the fans are up in arms about them coming back, and then I'm on Twitter looking at these fans, anytime anyone kind of expresses any concern about it, they're like, hey, this is fucking cage fighting, man.
It doesn't make a difference.
You wouldn't watch it if you cared about the fighters' well-being, man. It's fucking cage fight, dude.
Yeah.
Fuck off. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Jesus Christ.
There's a lot of plonkers talking shite, you know. If the government are giving it the green light, that's basically what you base it on, in my opinion. And the government are giving the green light in Florida. You know, Mr. DeSantis is happy with it.
Saint DeSantis.
Yeah, it looks, from what we have in terms of information, you know, Mark's pieces you've referenced there, what the ringside physicians have said, it does seem to be in a better place. I think they're happy with the procedures the UFC have taken. So as long as the government are okay with it, I'm okay with it, to be honest with you. More so than I'm not okay with it. It's very, very tough, as we've talked about earlier on. But there's two very different terms. I think it's very hard to compare the Bundesliga with the UFC in terms of fans wanting it back.
Oh, it is.
It's very, very different set of fans, as we well know. And, you know, I think the fans in Germany have more of a vested interest, as I said, in the clubs and things like that than the fans do within the Ultimate Fighting Championships.
I think they should open the whole thing to, like, that Team America music. America, fuck yeah. That'd be funny, wouldn't it? This is a motherfucking day.
I wouldn't be surprised, but, like, listen, at the end of the fucking day, it's going ahead now. And, you know, you see, you know, even here in Ireland, man, you know, it's very divided. It's very strange feelings. Yeah. We had the GAA guys going on and talking about, we want Gaelic football back here, and then, you know, it gives something people to look forward to, obviously play it behind closed doors. Then you've other guys, no, we shouldn't play it. We you know, it's totally unsafe, all these. But at least the UFC, we have to give them credit for that. They've come out with this today to Mark Raimondi and told us that there is going to be testing in place. And listen, if it's in structure,
it's good. I don't think they told him that. That seems like he did a lot of reporting, like investigative reporting to get that information. Yeah.
And Mark's, you know, a very credible guy, and most of the information ever puts out is excellent. So I go along with what Mark's putting out, and I'm sure Dana will definitely have something to say about that this week, blowing his own trumpet that he's put every procedure in place to make it really safe for the fighters. So I'm sure we'll hear a lot more of that now, maybe even this evening if he comes out and says something.
Fuck yeah. Let's get on with our second interview of the day. We spoke to his brother last week, Mr. Leon Edwards, and this week we're speaking to Fabian Edwards, a man who had mapped out a 2020 that would see him contend the Bellator middleweight title.
Jesus.
Very interesting to pick his mind on different things, including how he could possibly be a heavyweight by the next time we see him fighting.
A lot of fighters.
But great to speak to Fabian, as always. One of your favorites, of course. So we'll speak to Fabian, and we'll be back in about 15 minutes for more fantastic conversational topics. He's back, one of the most hyped prospects in European MMA, and with a man who has his eyes on the world scene when all this stuff gets back to normal over coronavirus, Mr. Fabian Edwards, who was due to take on Kostlov and Stenis in London. Fabian, how are you, my friend?
I'm very well, mate. I'm very well. How are you doing yourself?
Good, yeah. Just really bored, to be honest. But missing the fights, like everybody else, I guess. How are you?
I'm doing great, to be honest. I'm like I've said, I put up a post the other day. I said training camp is like isolation is like training camp, you know. So it's nothing new to me, to be honest. I'm enjoying it.
It's interesting, right? Because that Kozlov and Stamos fight is one we've been talking about for a long time. You said that would have finished off the European kind of contenders, and you wanted to go on to the world scene. Then is that still the fight you think Bellator want to make before they want to put you into that championship mix?
Yeah, I think that's definitely the fight that Bellator is going to take. You know, he called for it. I called for it. So it's a fight that the fans when that was announced, the fans was happy as well. So that's definitely a fight that I'll be protesting to make happen after the lockdown.
Are you impressed with that guy?
Not really, but Bellator seems to be. So because they seem to be, I need to go in there and show them that he's not on the level. So yeah, that's it, to be honest.
I can remember, obviously that was booked for that 16th of May card, but there was a few whispers I was getting before it was announced that they were looking at Amsterdam for that card. Was that ever something you heard about? Like, I mean, you and Kozlov fighting in Amsterdam, was that ever a possibility?
Yeah, that was mentioned. I think it was that and somewhere else as well. Newcastle was mentioned, but obviously they decided to go back to London. I got some good memories in London, so yeah.
Is that still, like, I mean, I was there in London when you took on Mike Shipman, and the energy between you guys and London shoot was huge. Obviously, it nearly came to blows at the weigh-in and stuff, and that went crazy. And just the atmosphere in the arena when you guys were fighting was insane. There was shit going on all over the place. Is that still there? Like, is that still a beef, like, with you guys and London shoot, do you feel?
Oh yeah. It's not like for the gimmick. I don't like the kid. You know what I mean, normally when I fight someone, afterward, if I see them, I shake their hands after the fight or like give it like try like. But nah. It's nothing like that with me and him. I don't like the kid. He got a face that I want to punch every time I see it. So I just don't like him at all. So yeah, still that feud.
I can remember I asked you, like, it was nearly straight after it. And I went crazy on MMA fighting at the time. When I was kind of saying, what about you and MVP? Because there was this little face-off you guys had just after that weigh-in. And I know your manager, Kay, was involved and stuff. Is that a fight that would ever appeal to you? It's just such a big name, an MVP. I know he competes at welterweight, but if he was willing to come up, do you think that would be a good fight for you?
I feel like I was saying to the guys not long ago, I feel like I've got the style to beat him, not in the way of Lima, because the Lima fight, I don't really look at that fight and think, yeah, the knockout was good, but but he never technically took him out, you know, like he was a stupid get up from MVP. Mm. Yeah, it was a good timing low kick, but the get up was silly. But I feel like me and him matches up well, you know. I don't just go charging into shots, so he wouldn't be able to counter me as well as he counted other people. So that's definitely a fight that I'd be interested in if Bellator was to make that.
Would you be able to go below middleweight? Like, you're such a big dude.
Let me stop you there. don't even finish the question. Not a chance.
What's the weight up, like, at the moment? Because I heard you talking about light heavyweight and stuff like this.
I don't even want to mention it now. I'm about I'm the heaviest I've ever been, to be honest. But it's weird because it's the fittest I've ever been as well. Wow. I've been running 3 miles in like 21 minutes something. I've never done that in camp before.
Well,
so it's a weird one. I'm carrying a lot of weight, but I'm running faster. I'm lifting heavier, and like things are good. So it's a bit weird. So yeah, that's going up. I definitely got interest in going up.
Do you have your eyes on anyone when you consider going up? Like, I mean, is there an appealing matchup there for you, or is just the situation you're in at the moment has you feeling like that?
Just the situation I'm in, you know. And I was training with light heavyweights. When I fought Chadwick, he was practically, he came in, you know what I mean? He was fucking basic at light heavyweight anyways. So I only fought a light heavyweight. I trained with some big guys, tall guys, and I handle myself well, you know, so that's definitely a possibility for me after I capture the middleweight title.
I mean, is obviously the middleweight title, there was a fight book there as well. That was Lima v. Musasi. What did you think of that fight? Is that a statement to where the middleweight division is here? They're crying out for contenders, do you feel? Or do you feel like Lima and Musasi is just a great super fight to make at any stage?
I feel like it's a great fight to make. You know, me personally, I disagree with Lima getting the title shot. I feel like they should have started a tournament. You know, they should have started the tournament and stick Lima in it. If he wants to compete as a middleweight and fight for the world title, should stick him in there with a few other middleweights and see how he matches up, you know? So I think that would have been the best for the division, to be honest, to wipe out all the competition and get like a good champion.
We've seen it in the UFC before when guys win multiple belts, it kind of holds up a division. Is that your fear here? That like you feel like you're just on the verge of breaking into that title mix, and if Lima's the welterweight and the middleweight champion, that could delay the process, right?
Yeah, no, it definitely could, you know. And who knows if he's just looking to capture the title and then give it up, or if he's looking to capture it and like defend it. You know, we don't know what his plans are. But it's a matchup that he can win. It's not a tough match. It's not like a super tough matchup for him. You know, Musasi is not like a massive middleweight, so strength wise, I don't think would be a lot of difference between the both of them when matched up in strength.
Who do you favor anyone there? Like when you look at the contest, do you think there's a clear winner there, or how do you feel?
I don't think there's a clear winner. I think it'd be an even fight, if I'm honest. You know, they're both like very flat-footed. They got clean technique, but I don't see anyone like having the better of anyone in any department. I think it'll be a five-round. I think it'll be a five-round fight if it happens.
Wow, it's interesting, right? Because I can remember I spoke to you about the title mix before, and you were like, "Yeah, I feel like I will be a world champion, but I want to get the right money when I do fight for that title." Is that still how you see it? And are you on the contract right now that you'd be happy to fight for a world title on?
I'm on the contract now that I'm happy to fight all the opponents that I'm going to be fighting now, the likes of like Costello, because obviously, like I said, Bellator holds him at a high level, and the likes of like Musasi. So the contract that I'm on, I'm happy to fight these guys on that contract. And if I'm gonna fight for a world title, I'm happy for them to chuck an extra few quid on top. You know what I mean?
is that how this usually works? Yeah, that's a few extra K put on top of it just for the title shot. Is that how you expect it to work?
That's how it should work. You know what I mean? That's how it should work. So if Bellator is listening, they better have that ready for me when it's title time. They better have that ready. You know.
Scott Coker is definitely listening. He's a huge fan of the show, of course. But I wanted to ask you about this whole the episode with your brother and UFC London. Like we felt like he was very hard done by. The fact he even had to come out and make a statement. Days later, they cancelled the event. Tyron Woodley now in talking about every other fighter in the division. How do you feel about this? I mean, it must have annoyed you to see this kind of, like, this felt like the one that was going to put your bro over. Everyone in Europe was really excited about it. I mean, he went from being booed on the way out to fight Gunnar Nelson to being a real kind of national hero in the lead up to this London fight. And then, of course, it doesn't happen. It's terrible for the UK fans and the European fans in general. But how do you feel about the situation?
Like, it's a shitty situation. It's one of those ones where it was taken out of my brother's hand, so he couldn't really dwell on it that much. But now, the fact now that Woodley is trying his best not to make the fight happen again, it just speaks, you know what I mean? Like, it just shows that he doesn't really want the fight. You know, I don't know if the US will make it. All can do is hope that they make that fight again, or give him another big fight in the likes of like Colby or somebody. Coco, hey, come on! Got the kids.
Yes, yeah, it's tough. It feels like the whole fact that you guys are in the UK, you can't get to the US, that seems to be a big issue at the moment, right? With the UFC doing everything in Florida at the moment and then moving to Fight Island. I guess the hope is that the international fighters will be able to go to Fight Island. Who would you like to see him fight if it's not Tyron?
Like I said, the likes of a Kobe, you know what I mean? Kobe, either another big fight, I would get my brother where he needs to get to, which is that title shot. Who else? I can't really think of no one else. Because otherwise, you'd only be fighting for the sake of just fighting when you're only one fight away from a title shot.
Yeah, it's true. It's a very, very delicate situation, I'm sure. I also wanted to ask you about Leon, Darren Till, and Jimmy Manoa coming out and kind of, it seems like they're beginning the process of trying to speak to politicians about knife crime in their respective areas. Birmingham, of course, where you guys are from, Till in Liverpool, and then Jimmy in London. Is this something you're going to look to help out with if you can, Fabian? And is this something that's close to home for you guys?
Oh, yeah, definitely close to home. Unfortunately, like, a kid lost his life last week. Mm. And there's a few more stabbings, you know, and the video was just going around on social media. I've got friends that work with, they work in school with clubs or like these youth groups. So then I reached out to them, they reached out to me. And we just said after the lockdown, we're all gonna get together and just try to see what we can do. Of the platform that we've got, to try to see like what awareness we can bring to the table and what we can do. So after this is finished, it's definitely something me, my brother, and other people are looking to get involved in.
Is it your goal to kind of just, you know, Leon spoke about it last week on the show. He was saying, you know, we found our different path. We found a way out of this, and we want to show people that they can find a path out as well. Is that what you guys are hoping to become ambassadors for?
Yeah, that basically, that's what it is. You know, there's no one better to listen to than someone that's like been through it, you know? So it's we've been through it. We've came out the other side. We found what we're passionate about. It's not necessarily, you have to escape that life and start fighting. It's just whatever you feel like you're passionate about. Or if someone ain't passionate about something, trying to let them find what they're passionate about, you know what I mean? So we can invest the time into that rather than into the streets.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. When do you expect to get back to action? Is that, I know that's a horrible question to ask you at the moment. Yeah. Have you heard any whispers? Has anyone been in touch? Have Bellator given you any hints?
I think I had a word and they were saying obviously UFC is starting to close those events now. Mm. I think Bellator's gonna try to start, well, that's in the US around July or so. Whereas in the UK, we don't really know in the UK yet because we can't have a gathering more than 10. We can't have a gathering of no one at the moment. So it's rough.
It's
rough for us over here. So we can't really do fuck all. But I feel like we don't really know. As soon as the bans are lifted and stuff like that, then they'll probably be looking to make shows. But I heard September. That's what I heard, the latest September. So yeah, anything before that, I'll be happy with.
You'd be ready to call out Ryan Bader by September, by the sounds of things, Fabian.
I'll be fucking huge by then. Fuck light. I'll be in the heavyweight. Fuck light heavyweight. See it.
Now, what has there been any food that you've particularly been craving since this happened? Like, I'm eating pizza to beat the band to put on about 3 stone. Is there anything that you've been getting stuck into while you know you don't have any fights lined up?
No, so for me personally, it's not the food, like, it's not the meal, it's the snacks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm a snacker, so I snack on the sweets and this chocolate and this cake. I just snack, you know what I mean? I eat good. I don't really eat that bad. I just eat a lot of sweets. So, well, I rang my nutritionist today and I was like, mate, I need help. You know what I mean? I'm like, I need help. The weight's too much. I've got a dad bod now. Fuck it. You need to talk me out. And he's like, I mean, so he's sending me a plan over later on. And I hope to get back down to be a fucking middleweight.
Fingers crossed. We had a big future at middleweight before this shit started, baby.
I
I refuse to be ruined by Corona.
Right, man. That's great speaking to you. I can't wait to see you back in there. And thanks so much for joining us, especially on a bank holiday, man. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you. Thanks.
All the best, man. Stay safe.
Thank you so much to Fabian Edwards. We'll look forward to see him back in action. And listen, I'd watch the shit out of that man, the MVP. I would watch the shit out of it. I doubt MVP wants to move up to middleweight to face him, but my God, that would be a hell of a compelling fight for Mr. Venom Page.
Yeah, and another test. He needs tests. He's only had one in his career, so let's be honest, man. I don't think Michael can go back to fighting journeymen effectively anymore. I think he has to go with the best brass they have in Bellator, and that is obviously Fabian Edwards is right up there, and who wouldn't watch that fight whenever Bellator get back? It's going to be a while, and interesting as well. Bellator putting on, did you see that? They're airing some old shows on Saturday night.
Yeah, on Sky Sports.
Yeah, same time as the UFC.
Going head to head with the only live sport in the world, which is the UFC. That should be an interesting one.
Questionable, again, from Bellator and their TV strategy. It's just absolutely bizarre, man. I don't think they'll ever learn at this rate. We've been talking about this for two odd years.
I'd imagine that was Sky Sports. And I think, like, to be honest, I think it's a positive thing that Sky Sports seem to be making a show out of it. Like, at least they're doing a kind of a, you know, remember, whatever it was, UFC Reloaded used to be on one of the shows somewhere. I can't remember who it, Bravo or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, I remember.
So it's good. I mean, I don't think many MMA fans are going to be watching
exactly
Bellator instead of UFC 249, but I still think it's a positive sign.
Yeah,
listen, for Bellator and sports.
I suppose they're showing something, like, you know, we can't be complaining the whole time, but it is questionable. Like, why didn't they leave till Sunday night? More people will tune
absolutely
in.
Be complaining the whole time. Yeah. Me and you, Niall.
Yeah, well, we could about we'd that.
Very comfortable.
Their TV's deal has been a fucking disaster. Let's just be honest about it. It has.
No, but the thing was, right? Wasn't that deal meant to be up in February? Is this a sign that it's on again? Like they've
maybe it is,
they've kept them on.
We can't get any information about this TV deal. It's been very, very shady all along. So who knows? Who knows? It could be a week to week thing. We don't even know, man. Because there's been little information available from Dave.
Yes, I'm wondering, have you seen Donald Cerrone's interview with ESPN with Brett Okamoto? Of course, he's fighting this weekend against Anthony Pettis, or at least scheduled to fight Anthony Pettis this weekend. Just wanted to ask you, did you hear what he had to say about the McGregor fight? Where basically he said he didn't really show up. is that a surprise to you based on how much shit Stephen A. Smith took for basically saying exactly the same thing?
No, it's not a surprise to me with Cowboy. You know, Cowboy has been in this position before where this has happened to him, and he's come out and said exactly the same thing. He didn't want to be there. He didn't enjoy the bright lights on certain occasions and certain nights, and he did the same thing against RDA. I was in the arena that night in Florida when that fight went down, when he got absolutely starched in the first round as well. I think it was a minute into the first round in that occasion. And then same thing obviously happened with Conor McGregor. So no, you know, I wasn't surprised. And, you know, when Donald's thinking like that, man, you question whether he should be still, you know, in there. In my opinion, he's lost, I think, what is it, 7 of his last 11 fights now at this point. And he even said that in the interview about, you know, this might be my, you know, last fight or maybe one after this. And when he's in a situation like that and he doesn't want to show up and he's his doubts 2 days before, as he said, during the fight, he said, what else he say? So he he woke up that morning, felt as though he just didn't want to be there. He didn't want to be in the octagon when Conor was walking out. Well, what are you doing in the sport, man, if this is a reoccurring team? I don't understand his thinking or his logic at all at times. And that interview sort of solidified my thoughts on Donald Cerrone, whether he should really be competing again, because it's a very, very dangerous place if you don't want to be there. That's what I took from that. I think it's worrying, man, to be honest with you, when a fighter's coming out and saying that. It's not the first time you said that either, you know.
Yeah, well, look, I credit him for how candid he was, but, you know, based on what he said, I can tell you that's exactly how I felt when I was up in the rafters watching that with Jim Edwards. And I was like, Jesus, you know, Cerrone isn't as easy as people think he is. But then as soon as McGregor and him are both in the octagon, I said, this is going to be quick. Connor's going to eat him alive. Just the way they looked, like yeah. when you're looking down, the body language, the kind of the vibe they were giving off.
And I think I was
straight away. I was like, this is going to be very quick.
Yeah, I think I was texting you a few hours beforehand, and you know, I even noticed the walkout. You know, I watched the walkout, and I was like, nah, this is going to be early. This isn't going long.
It's like
you can tell almost. You get the vibes, the body language, as you said, man.
Yeah, but McGregor's a smaller man than Cerrone, but when I looked at them in the octagon, it felt like he was 10 times the size of him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like he's physically smaller than Cerrone, but the vibe they were giving off, the atmosphere surrounding them, McGregor looked 10 times as big. It felt, and it just, the writing was on the wall, I think, before the first bell rang. I think Stephen A. Smith deserves a few apologies, to be honest.
he won't be getting them.
I do.
He won't be getting them, though.
The job is to say, is to speak your mind, and he did that. And everyone ragging the shit out of him over it. And then a couple of months later, Cerrone basically says, "Yeah, that's exactly how I was feeling." What he said. Now he didn't say, but didn't reference Stephen A. Of course. But I mean, it's crazy, man. This the ravenous fan base. It's unbelievable. I suppose that's all we've got for this week. Noel, only the two guests this week.
Yeah, two good guests. Two excellent guests. So what are you moaning about? Stop moaning, Petey. It's great.
I didn't moan at all.
It's bank holiday weekend. People are hard to guess on this side of the pond. They're all out in the piss. You know what I mean?
Yeah, as we wish we were.
I have not a beer in 2 weeks. There you go.
I could say the same, mate.
2 weeks and 3 days. Did you have a few last night, did you? Your door poured you.
Yeah, it was proper dirt as well. It was three. Wait, then where are they? 2 liter balls? What, the Bulmers?
All right, okay.
Bulmers. Yeah, cider. Three of them, and yeah,
not a fan of the old cider. Instant heartburn. Nah, not my cup of tea, man. Yeah. Only Guinness, man. I'm missing me Guinness. I tell you, a bit of that, a pizza last night, and few fresh chilies and stuff on it, and oh Jesus, this morning wasn't tasty. The old gut was wrapped, jalapenos, all sorts of spices on it. Spicy delights. The trapdoor was well and truly open this morning. Slurry pit.
Jesus Christ. I had about 6 points there yesterday, and I'd finished an all by about 9 o'clock
for you.
And started drinking water. And then I went out running this morning thinking that was going to be grand. I was trying to get me 5K and I hit four and a half. My body just said, nah, fuck this, mate.
Jesus, so four and a half more than I'd ever fucking do. Nah, jeez, fair play to you. I wouldn't be.
Yeah, we're getting our done about 3 or 4 times a week now.
Good stuff.
Elaine's my fitness guru at the moment. So, it's going well. It's keeping me fucking busy. And I'll have plenty of time for that in the coming months anyway. But anything else?
Nah, just who you got this weekend? I'm interested in your main event selection.
Oh shit, yeah, we better have a quick sweep through the card. Will we? We'll do a quick power pick.
Come on to fuck. We'll do it. Do it before we go. Come on.
Fuck it. Let's do it. Pull up the card there and I'll.
We haven't had many fights in a while. it's the first card we've had in a long time, PT, so we might as well fucking give the lads a bit of a breakdown. All right, will I start?
I just watch fans fighting among themselves on Twitter now just to get my enjoyment.
It's great. It's great crack. Just log on.
Go on, let's take it fight by fight. Start with the main event there. Or do we start with the
prelims.
The prelims, yeah, go on.
Go on.
Quick, one-word answers.
All right, Ryan Spann, Sam Alvey.
Spann.
Alvey. Rosa Mitchell. Ooh. That's a good fight, actually.
Mitchell.
I'll go Mitchell as well. Luke A. Price.
Luke
A. I'm going Luke A as well, I have to. Souza or Hall? Jacare or Hall? Jacare, gotta be.
I think Jacare.
Esparza Waterson, that's a good scrap. I'm going Michelle.
Waterson.
Yeah. Verdum, Alexi Olenek. Olenek for the upset. Verdum.
Oh. Ooh. Do you think he submits him?
Yeah. Of course he does. That's all he ever does. He'll go down and he'll take him down for the crack.
the fucking wild choke he pulls out of his arse all the time. It's absolutely insane.
Qatar and Stevens. I'm going Jeremy Stevens.
I'm going Cater.
Sorry, I skipped about two fights there. But we've got Cowboy and Pettis.
I think we know who you're fucking picking in this one after the last segment. Buddy.
Oh yeah, yeah, of course.
I'm going Anthony Pettis.
I'm going Pettis all day. I think he's gonna do it again. A few liver kicks and he'll take Cerrone out in the first couple of rounds. Hardy and DeCastro.
DeCastro.
Yeah, I think so as well. Listen, I'll give Greg Hardy credit. A lot of people haven't. I think he's improved an awful lot. But yeah, I think DeCastro.
I don't think he has at all.
He has, definitely. Ngannou, Rosenstrike.
Oh, man. I feel like Rosenstrike could get the upset here, but I'm going for Big Franny.
Big Fran with a vicious KO, and he'll welcome Jairzinho Rosenstrike properly to the heavyweight division. Henry versus Dominic Cruz, Peter.
Oh, my God.
That's such a good fight,
I'm actually getting more. I'm more excited.
I am now, yeah. Exactly, definitely.
I'm going Cruz, fuck it.
Yeah, I'm going Cruz as well. I think the master, as we said, of dispelling that ring rust theory after his performance against TJ Dillashaw, absolutely phenomenal motherfucker. And I'd like to see Henry beaten. I'm not going to lie, because he does my head in with all this shy talk.
I don't accept that from you, because you're so fucking high on Colby Covington and his great trash talk, and then Henry gets shat on, for God's sake.
Because it's just cringe, man. It's super cringe, right? It's just
so like, ugly,
wanting to fight girls and stuff, call himself Triple C. Get the fuck out of here, man.
I don't think he really wants to fight girls, mate.
He probably does.
Fucking Olympian.
Okay. Tony Ferguson and JG. Who you got?
Oh, T Fergs.
Yeah, I got.
I actually hope that for the well-being of the sport that it's Ferguson.
Yeah, so do I. No, listen, I do. I generally hope. I don't often say that, but I you have to feel for Tony at times. Gaethje though, man, sits in the pocket. You know, with
he's
Tony,
a man, it's so dangerous. It's such so a fucking dangerous fight. What they're doing here. He's an absolute. It's like putting someone in the blender, putting them in there with Justin. Yeah.
I'm really interested to see though, and I think what Cowboy said as well, man. Just quickly before we get out of here, he said that, guys training and stuff, are they going to be able to get outside one or two rounds? Are we going to see a lot of knockouts in here because they've been training probably in their backyard and hitting pads, and they're not going to be training but with mass different sparring partners and stuff. It's going to be really interesting, I think, on Saturday night to see how the card actually pans out. If the fights go long, I don't think they're going to go long. A lot of these explosive.
Let's. What's your most likely leading headline coming out of the event Sunday morning?
Oh, God, I don't even want to think about it. I can see it, but I don't want to say it.
No, I'm intrigued. I need to know what it is.
Gaethje upsets the apple cart. I don't want to see that headline.
That's a fucking me, man. Yeah. Like, I don't know why. I feel like...
I do. I can just...
How many times have we seen this, right?
Yeah.
Where we've seen someone go through this complete change... in public perception, like Tony Ferguson is beloved now more than he ever has been. If he wins this fight, he is,
undoubtedly,
it's going to be huge for him.
Yeah.
It just feels very MMA for this to be taken away. Like Leon Edwards v. Tyron Woodley being taken away was very MMA.
Does.
The man worked his whole life to get to this moment and then yoink.
Yeah. We're going to wake up on Sunday morning and we're not going to have TF and Khabib on the table anymore. Stop, Tony's gonna win. it's one of those things. Listen, we'll just have to wait and see, and I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it, and we're gonna be graced as well with the media shit online this week. First time ever. Should be a fun build up.
Yeah, I haven't heard much about that. I probably won't either, but sure, we'll see you guys next week to discuss two more cards which will be happening. Yeah, I hope you enjoy the fights. I know you've been dying for them, and I hope everything goes down very safely and soundly for all our fighters and the UFC staff and everyone else involved. Lovely to speak to you as always. Any parting remarks on home, Graf?
We'll probably be sick of MMA again by this time next week, so I better not say what I was about to say there. Yeah, good luck. Love you all. Peace. Enjoy the weather. Be good.
Love yous. Mwah. Big kisses. See you soon.